Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, and I'll begin reading at verse 29. And immediately after they had come out of the synagogue, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever, and immediately they spoke to him about her. And he came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she waited on them. And when evening had come, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city had gathered at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. We are still studying a single day in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, our third sermon on this single day. It was a Sabbath day, and as it was Jesus' custom, he went to the synagogue for worship on the day, and in the synagogue that morning, Jesus taught the Word of God, and he cast out a demon from a man with an unclean spirit. And then immediately after they left the synagogue, they went to Peter's house, and in Peter's house they found his mother-in-law lying sick with a high fever, and they came and spoke to Jesus about her. And Jesus healed her. He raised her up with his hand. He rebuked the fever, and the fever left her. It was a supernatural, miraculous healing, a complete, perfect healing of her fever, and immediately she was restored to full strength, and she began to wait on them. But this was not the end of this Sabbath day in the city of Capernaum. It was really only just the beginning. If we look back to verse 28 of chapter 1, after the healing in the synagogue, we read, "And immediately the news about him went out everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee." As soon as Jesus performed that mighty work in the synagogue, delivering that man from the demons' power, the news, Mark tells us, it began to spread, and it was news about him. It was news about the Lord Jesus Christ. News began to spread that a great prophet had come who spoke the word of God with authority and who did mighty works of power, even casting out demons. And the news spread rapidly. Mark says immediately, without any delay, the news began to go out everywhere into all the surrounding districts of Galilee. They had no modern communications in those days. They had no iPhones, no internet, no Twitter, and no breaking news on the television. It was by the old-fashioned method of mouth-to-mouth communication. One man speaking to another. One neighbor speaking to another neighbor, from house to house, from street to street, and then from village to village. The news began to spread about the Lord Jesus and his mighty works. The countryside was covered with the news of Jesus. There was an amazement about him. Men had never seen any of the works that he had done. They had never seen such an overthrow of the works of the devil. And nothing could stop the spreading news about him. Verse 28 tells us, immediately the news about him went out everywhere into all the surrounding districts, in every place throughout the district of Galilee. The King James reads, "And immediately his fame began to spread throughout all the region around Galilee." And this is Verse 28 is what was going on while Jesus was in the house of Simon Peter. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. She arose and she began to wait on them, and she served them food. There was food, there was fellowship in the house of Simon Peter, and there was joy, there was gladness over the healing of his mother-in-law. But all the while they were gathered in Peter's house, in that circle of friendship around his table, in the quietness of his house, verse 28 is what was going on outside. Throughout all the surrounding countryside, the fame and the news of Jesus and his mighty works was spreading throughout the region of Galilee. And the result was what many regard, what we can think of as the most beautiful scene in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's called the glorious sunset scene in the city of Capernaum. It was the end of the Sabbath day. The sun had set over the mountains surrounding the Sea of Galilee, and the glow of the setting sun still gave its light over the city streets. And then we read in verse 32, "And when evening had come, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed." A crowd began to gather outside Peter's house that evening. And it was a crowd made up of those who were suffering and in great need. Mark tells us of two kinds of needs. They were those who were ill, and they were those who were demon-possessed. The ill included every kind of human disease and sickness. There were the blind, there were the deaf, the dumb who could not speak, lame and cripples. There were epileptics, there were paralytics, there were lepers. There were those who had hemorrhages, there were those with withered hands. Every kind of disease and sickness were among them who gathered outside Peter's house. And there were the demon-possessed, like the man in the synagogue that day who was under the power of an unclean spirit. And Mark tells us in verse 32 that they began bringing them to him. What the others did for those who were ill, they began bringing them to him. The sick, the ill, they could not bring themselves. They had no strength to do so. They were helpless. They had no power in themselves. The blind could not see. They needed someone to hold their hand and guide them down the street. The lame could not walk. They needed someone to carry them. The paralytics needed someone to bring them on their pallets. The demon-possessed needed someone to restrain them and bring them to Jesus. Fathers carried their sick children. Mothers came with their infants, friends and relatives, carried those who were sick. They all brought them to Jesus. They began bringing them to him. And not just a few, but they brought all who were afflicted in the city. Verse 32 tells us they began bringing to him all who were ill and all who were demon-possessed. They were in the city of Galilee, the city of Capernaum, which was in the region of Galilee in the north. And Galilee was the most populated region in Israel. And Capernaum was the most populated, the largest city in the region of Galilee. They began bringing to him all who were ill and demon-possessed. Jesus and his disciples, they were still in the house of Peter, and this great crowd of sick and needy, they begin to gather outside the door, and they gather to such an extent that Mark tells us in verse 33, "And the whole city gathered at the door." The whole city now is gathered at the door of Peter's house. Men and women were there, boys and girls, young and old. It mattered not who they were. If they had need, all who were sick, all who were diseased, all who were demon-possessed, they had heard of the mighty works of Jesus, and they made their way there that night from one end of the city to another, to the place where he was. Simon Peter's house was just a little house, no doubt, and just the disciples and Jesus could fit in the house, not many more. There was now this great crowd that was gathered at the door. Some had enough strength perhaps to hobble along the way with their crutches. Some straining, pain with every step, barely making progress along the city streets. But they said to themselves, we must get to this house where the great prophet Jesus is. The friends of the paralytic said, we must take our friend to the house and find this man Jesus, that he might walk again, that he might be healed. The city streets were filled with patients streaming to Peter's house. They had no other hope. They had been so long in their disease. They had gone to the doctors of that day, and they had spent their money, and they had no cure. There was no human cure for these diseases. But on this day they heard Jesus Christ was in their city. And they had heard of only two things about him at this point. Two of his mighty works. He cast out the demon in the synagogue, and he healed Peter's mother-in-law. That's all they had heard about him at this point, and that's all they needed to hear, because they had no other hope but to find Jesus. Two things they knew. Two things they knew. They had great need, and Jesus had great power, and they had to get to him. When evening had come, the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and demon-possessed, and the whole city had gathered at the door. When this great multitude gathers outside the door, what does Jesus do? The answer is found in verse 34. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. Mark says there in verse 34, he healed many. Now, we should not understand Mark's many to mean that he did not heal all of them. Because what Mark is trying to tell us is that not just did he heal all of them, but he healed many. There were a great many there. There was a great multitude that were gathered outside that house that night, and Jesus healed many of them. The many of Mark is the all in the previous verses. The other gospel writers confirm it. Matthew tells us in his account that Jesus cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were ill. All who were ill. And we can see this if we turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, and verse 40. Luke gives us his account, and he says in verse 40, and while the sun was setting, all who had any sick with various diseases brought them to him, and laying hands on every one of them, he was healing them. Luke tells us how all embracing the healing ministry of Jesus was. All who were sick in the city that day, all of them they brought to him, and he gave individual care, individual attention to each one of them. He was laying his hands on every one of them and healing them. It had already been a long day for our Lord Jesus this day. He had cast out the demon in the synagogue, preached the gospel, healed Peter's mother-in-law. But the day was not done. The sun was setting, and now this great crowd had gathered, and Jesus now makes his way through the great crowd, and he's laying his hands on each one of them, every one of them, and he is healing all of them. The sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ is seen here. The self-sacrificing labors of Christ late into the night. And all who had any in their house who were sick with various diseases, they brought them to Jesus. And he was laying hands on every one of them and healing them. Back in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. The whole city is gathered outside the door with all the sick and demon-possessed in the city that night. And on that night, not one of them left without being healed. Not one went home that night disappointed. Not one went home that night without being cured. No matter how long they had their disease, no matter what disease and illness it was, no matter how severe it was, Jesus was there. He was casting out demons with a word, and he was laying his hands on every one of them. And a divine power went forth from Jesus and healed every one. What tremendous power must have gone forth from our Lord Jesus Christ that night in the city of Capernaum. If we turn over to Mark chapter 5 for just a moment. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Mark begins to tell us of a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years. And she came up in a crowd behind Jesus. And she said to herself, "If I could just touch the fringe of his cloak, I shall be made well." That was her thought. "If I can just touch him, I will be made well. The fringe of his garment." And then we read in verse 29 and 30. "And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my garments?'" That's how the woman was healed. There was a power that went forth from Jesus Christ. And when the power went forth from Christ, she was immediately healed. And Jesus perceived, he knew, that this divine power had left him to cure her. And that's the way it would have been with every one of those who were healed that night in the city of Capernaum. With every one of them, there was a divine power that went forth from our Lord Jesus to heal them. It was God's power. It was God's power that was working through Jesus, the power of God working through him to heal the great multitude. And if we turn back to Mark chapter 1, God's power coming through Jesus that night. But not just was it God's power that night, it was also God's compassion that was coming through him as well. Many times we read in the Gospels of our Lord Jesus that he felt compassion upon the multitudes. And it was when he was moved with compassion that he healed. He felt the sorrow, he felt the misery that sin and its consequences had brought upon the human race. When Jesus Christ healed, he took the burden, the sorrow, the grief of those whom he healed, and he bore that grief upon his own soul, and he healed them, being moved with his compassion. It was never divine power alone that healed. It was always divine power mixed with God's compassion. It was power with mercy that healed both at the same time. And it had to be that way because that was the heart of God toward the human race in the misery and the sorrow of their sins and the consequences of sin. Every disease has been brought by sin. Every misery in this world has been brought on us by the curse that has come upon sin. But the heart of God is one of mercy and compassion toward men, even under the misery and the burden of sin. And Jesus, the power of God, the heart of God was seen in the city of Capernaum that night. The power of God, the mercy and the compassion of God came to that city through our Lord Jesus Christ. There had been miracles in the Old Testament. Great miracles of God. One here at one time. Another here in another place at another time. There had been miracles of God in the Old Testament scriptures by the prophets. But never had there ever been anything seen like this night in Capernaum. Never had a whole city gathered at a house to be healed. Every one of them, his hands laid upon them, and he healed them all. The world had never seen anything like this before. Peter's house was transformed into a great hospital that night. The trickle of mercy that began with the healing of his mother-in-law, with Peter's mother-in-law, that little trickle now became a great river, and it flowed over the whole city. There must have been joy and gladness in the city of Capernaum that night. We can only imagine what it was like. The lame began to walk. The blind could see for the first time. The paralytics cast their pallets aside. The lepers were cleansed from all their sores and their pains and returned to their families. What joy, what gladness there must have been in the city of Capernaum that night. So many had awoken that morning, still suffering from their diseases with no hope. So many awoke that day with sickness and pain and suffering. But that night they went home and they were healed and they were made well by the power and the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet Isaiah, he spoke of the ministry of Jesus and his mighty works in chapter 35. And this is what he said: the wilderness and the desert will be glad, and the desert will rejoice and blossom like the crocus, and it will blossom profusely and rejoice with rejoicing and shouts of joy. They will see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will shout for joy. For waters will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. And the scorched land shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. That's what Isaiah said would happen when Jesus Christ came. The eyes of the blind would be opened. The ears of the deaf would be unstopped. The lame would leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb would rejoice. And that's what happened this night in the city of Capernaum. There was gladness and there was joy, and sorrow and sighing fled from that city that night. It all happened outside Peter's house. And Peter saw it with his own eyes. He never forgot it. The rest of his life, on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when he had to speak about Jesus, he said to the Jews, "You know Jesus of Nazareth. You know of him." He said, "Listen to these words. He was a man attested to you by God with miracles and with wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst," he says, "just as you yourselves know." That's what he could say to the Jews. He was a man who was attested by God with miracles and signs and wonders, which God did in the very midst of you, and you yourselves know you have seen it, just like I saw it with my own eyes. And then later, years later, Peter would say in the house of Pentecost, you know of Cornelius, he would say, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with power and with the Holy Spirit, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The miracles of Jesus were always acts of benevolence and goodness and benefit to the human race. I mean that they showed love and kindness, and they always did good to those who were healed. The miracles of Jesus were not just freaks of power. They were not miracles done only for a display and a show of power. They were always works of goodness to the human race. Men have written at different times about false miracles. In the days after the days of the apostles, there was a book written about the followers of Simon Magnus and the kind of miracles that those followers did. What they did was they took statues, and they made the statues speak. And they took dogs that were made out of brass and they made them bark. And then there was the Apocrypha. And in the Apocrypha, we read of the making of little birds out of clay, and then the birds fly away. And then we read of animals being made out of clay, and then the animals run away. Well, even in such miracles like that, if those miracles even took place, which they didn't, but even if they did, the question has to be asked, what good did they ever do to any man? What benefit did they bring? They were not works of benevolence. They were just works of power for entertainment and for show. But the works of Jesus were always works of divine power and compassion that brought real good to men. And the reason why is because Jesus was dealing with the effects of human sin. Disease had come by sin. And Jesus Christ had come to deal with human sin. And that's what he was doing. He was beginning to relieve the effects of sin, the consequences of sin from the human race. But with all the evil, the physical evil that human sin has brought into this world, there is a far greater evil, and that's the evil of the guilt of sin, the power of sin that it has over us, and the penalty that we deserve for our sins. Whatever physical evils sin has brought, the spiritual evils are far worse. And our greatest need is not to be healed so much of physical afflictions. Our greatest need is to be healed of the spiritual powers of sin, the guilt that sin brings, the power that sin has over us, the penalty that sin deserves. And that's what Jesus came to do. His physical healings were pointers to the far greater healing of Jesus, which was the spiritual powers of sin over us. The lesser points us ahead to the greater. The opening of the eyes of the blind, what does that mean? That shows us how Jesus opens the eyes of the blind man to see God and to see Christ in the Scriptures. The cleansing of the leper shows us the cleansing power of Jesus' blood to take away our sin. The raising of the dead man shows his power to give new spiritual life. And the command to the paralytic, rise and walk, shows us that Jesus can put new grace and power in men to walk and live as they should in God's world. the physical healings of Jesus were only meant to point us ahead to the greater spiritual healings from our sins. And in Capernaum that night, all who came to Jesus were healed. Every one of them came with their physical sickness. And every one of them came and they were healed. And all who are sinners here this morning, who know the guilt, the power that sin has over them, the blindness, they cannot see God's glory in Scripture, they cannot see, they cannot do God's will, they have no power to do it, they read His commandments, but they have no strength, they have no power to walk. They try to obey and they fail. They know the guilt of sin and they have never been cleansed and washed from it. All who are guilty this morning can come to Jesus Christ and they can be healed and cleansed and washed and given new power and strength, just like they were that night in the city of Capernaum. He is still the great physician of souls. He is not in a city on earth. He is in heaven at the right hand of God. And He hears all who call upon Him in truth. And He will never cast anyone out who comes to Him. He did not cast any out that night. He will not cast any out who come to Him this day. And He will heal all who come. And the healing of Jesus in His earthly ministry, it was a sign of His removing the consequences of human sin. And that's what He will do in the end of this world. He will come and He will remove all the consequences of human sin. And that's what we read about in the book of Revelation. He shall wipe away the tears from our eyes. There shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. He who sits on the throne says, "Behold, I am making all things new." That's what He began to do in Capernaum that night. It was a foreshadowing, it was a foretaste of heaven to come. Heaven had come to earth in Jesus Christ in Capernaum that night. What He did in Capernaum that night, He will do throughout the whole world at the end of the age. The kingdom of God, He said, has come. Repent and believe in the gospel. The kingdom of God has come. And the kingdom of God began to come with Jesus. It has only come in seed form. It will then come in all of its glory forever and ever. But that's what it was in Capernaum that night. It was a foretaste of the coming glory of the kingdom of God. And every cure that Jesus gave this night, it was perfect. It was a complete cure. Just like with Peter's mother-in-law. A perfect and complete cure. There were no unfinished cures of Jesus that night. There are no partial healings of Jesus. No partial healings of the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not begin a work and leave it undone. Every work He begins, He brings to completion and perfection. And that's what He did this night in Capernaum. Everyone who went home was completely healed of all their disease. Complete, perfect healing of every one of them. And that's the way it will be with us in the end as sinners. With our spiritual disease of sin, every one of us will be completely healed of all the effects of sin in us. We will be made perfect and complete. He will perfect us in the day of Christ Jesus. We will stand before Him holy and blameless, without any spot, without any stain. We will have washed our robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's what Jesus will do for all who believe in the gospel. And if we believe in the gospel this morning, then we have been saved, and we are being saved, and we are not what we once were. We have been made new. We are not slaves of sin anymore. We are slaves of righteousness. We do not walk according to the course of this world. We are not conformed to the image of this world if we are Christians. We are not what we once were. We are made new. And we live new. And that's what the gospel has done to us. The healing of Jesus of our sins has begun. The healing has begun, but it is not yet complete. And we still groan, and we still are burdened, and we still struggle against the remaining sin that is still within us. There's still much leprosy in our souls. There's still much blindness within, and still many diseases of sin within. But we have a great Savior, and we can continue to go to Him with every disease of our sins and say, Lord Jesus, heal me of this sin. Here it is. We could never heal ourselves in the beginning. We could never heal ourselves in the beginning, and we cannot heal ourselves today. We need divine power and compassion to heal us. And we still need to go to the great physician to be cured of all of our sins. There were no partial healings that night. No halfway unfinished cures. Every man and woman who came was cured completely, perfectly. And so it will be with us in our souls at the end. When we see Him, He will lay His hands on every one of us who believe in the gospel, and He will heal us of all of our sin. We marvel at the miracles that Jesus did on a night like this. And right we should. They were wonderful, amazing works. It was a glorious sunset that night in the city of Capernaum. But it is really a far greater work of Jesus to heal a sinner of his sin. And it is a far greater work of Jesus to take a guilty sinner and cleanse him entirely of every single sin so that he's clean in the sight of God. That's a far greater work of Jesus. And it is a far greater work of Jesus to take a man who was a slave of sin and make him a slave of righteousness. It is a far greater work to take a man and give him power that he overcomes the world. And he takes sin and he puts it to death. And he overcomes the devil and all his powers against him. The work of Christ in all who believe is even a far greater work than what Jesus did on this night in Capernaum. It was an amazing night in that city. A joyful night. The compassion, the power of God had come through Jesus. And then we read in verse 39. And he went into their synagogues. I'm sorry. We read in verse 34. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. The demons, when they confessed who he was, it was not a statement of faith. It was not an acknowledgement of faith on their parts. Jesus would not let them speak. He had nothing in common with them. When the night ended, everyone went home. They were all healed in that city. And then we read in verse 35, "And in the early morning, while it was still dark, he arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there." He spent the night in Peter's house. In the morning early, he arose while it was still dark and he went out to pray. That was the habit of our Lord Jesus Christ. We find many examples of his prayers in the gospel. He set the pattern for all believers. And if we say that we abide in him, then we ought to walk in the same manner as he walked. We ought to be praying Christians as he was praying. One man writes, "If Jesus, in his great power and oneness with God, could feel the urgent necessity of communion with the Father, how much more you and I need to go to the Father for the strength that fills our weakness and the knowledge that fills our ignorance. Prayer brings us into a fellowship with God which nothing else can provide. Prayer brings us into a fellowship with God that nothing else can provide." That's what Jesus was doing. He woke up early and he went out and he began to pray. And then we read in verse 36 and 37, "And Simon and his companions hunted for him. And they found him and said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.'" The disciples, they're in Peter's house as well. They wake up early in the morning. They look around the house and Jesus is not in the house. So they go out looking for him. Mark tells us they hunted for him. And then when they found him, they tell him, "Jesus, everyone is looking for you." The great crowd that had been outside Peter's house the night before, they were not done with him. The news had continued to spread throughout the region, and now many more were gathered outside of Peter's house, and the disciples came to him. So many were gathered, they say, "Everyone is looking for you." They were excited. They wanted to bring Jesus back into the city of Capernaum. But Jesus had a different plan. In verse 38, "And he said to them, 'Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby, in order that I may preach there also. For that is what I came out for.'" That is what I came for. The central work of Jesus was to preach the Word of God, the Gospel. Preaching took priority over the miracles. The miracles showed the truthfulness of the Gospel that he preached, but it was the living Word of God that was to build the kingdom of God. It was the Gospel that was the power of God to salvation. Jesus said, "No, let us go to other places, to towns nearby, that we may preach." Jesus would say later to his disciples, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." And he would pray, "Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth." Jesus knew that the word of God would build the kingdom of God. And that is what he came for. Miracles and outward signs would only heal the bodies of men, but the Word of God alone could heal their souls and bring them eternal life. He said, "I must preach the Gospel to the other cities, for I was sent for that purpose." And then we read in verse 39, "And he went into their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out the demons." He went into their synagogues, not into their public squares, not into their marketplaces, because he was not a political leader or a social leader. He was a religious leader. He went into the synagogues first and preached throughout all Galilee. But there is a kind of tension between the desires of the disciples in verse 37 and Jesus' desires in verse 38. The disciples come The crowds have gathered, and they think that those crowds in Capernaum are a sure sign of the success of Jesus' ministry. His popularity was growing, everyone was looking for him, and they want Jesus to return now to Galilee and pursue his popularity. But Jesus knew that the crowds in Galilee, in Capernaum, they were not coming to hear the word of God so much as they were gathering to be healed of their diseases. They were not coming for the central purpose. Jesus came to hear the gospel. He was willing to heal them for a time. He was willing to do them good for a while, but he must maintain the central purpose of his coming, which was to preach the gospel. The disciples come to Jesus. They say, "Jesus, in Capernaum, the great crowds are gathering. Everyone there is looking for you. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly back to Capernaum and heal them. Continue your healing ministry." Jesus says, No, I was not sent for this purpose. I was sent to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. We must go now to other cities and continue that purpose. I have not come so much to heal men's bodies, but to heal their souls. One man writes here that the people came to Jesus not because they recognized his dignity and purpose, but because it was rumored that a miracle worker had come in their midst. Jesus had come to preach repentance and the nearness of the kingdom, but the people think only of relief from pain and affliction. They fail to perceive the significance of his conflict with demonic power. In compassion and grace, Jesus extends to them authentic healing, but it is not primarily for this purpose he has come. In the morning, he withdraws to the other villages and leaves the clamoring crowds. In other words, Jesus was thinking of eternal spiritual matters. They were thinking of just earthly and carnal things. It's similar to the scene that we find in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, when Jesus had fed the 5,000, and then he went around to the other side of the sea, and the great multitude followed him around the sea. And they followed him because they had been fed by him. They wanted more food. And Jesus said to them, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." And as it was in Jesus' day, so it is with so many in our day today. In religion, what they want is they want some carnal, earthly thing to be satisfied. Some comfort on earth, some entertainment, something good in this life and in this life only. But Jesus, the main purpose of his gospel was not to bring us earthly comfort, but to bring us into eternal life, to bring us spiritual comfort, to bring us real power and food to our souls. That's the purpose of Jesus. And he says, "Let us go now. Let us go into the nearby towns and villages, and let us preach the gospel there also, for that is what I came to do." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we pray this morning that you would have great mercy upon us and help us and teach us about our Lord Jesus Christ and show us his glory. Help us to see him as the great physician. And Lord, we pray that you would bless your word and be at work in us and do much good. Forgive our sins, we pray. Cleanse us and wash us. In Jesus' name, amen.